Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a few visitors with us today. We're awful glad to have you worship with us. Have a couple of announcements and prayer requests before we get started. Kathy Hope has requested prayers for a friend of hers, Ivan Kulietchik. That has had a number of knee surgeries in the last 6 years and has just had total knee replacement, and she requests prayers for his fast recovery. This is Kathy's last Sunday, as it was mentioned earlier. Her and Mike are going to be moving to Florida, and they'll be leaving this Wednesday. So we send them off with all of our love and look forward to seeing her again. Let's bow real quick on behalf of their prayer requests, and then have a couple of other announcements. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We are thankful for all the blessings you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, right now we're coming on behalf of Kathy and Mike as they're preparing to move to Florida, start a new chapter in their life. We hope that they can find a loving, faithful, sound congregation to worship in. Hope that they always remember us, and we pray for the new endeavors that they pursue. Dear God, we're thankful for all that Kathy has done for us here. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with her friend Ivan. We pray that the knee replacement surgery will be the end of his problems with his knees, and that he will recover quickly. Thank you for everything you do for us. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We also have, it was mentioned earlier that Valon had two baptisms of two Hindu women this past week. Also, David Marub in Kenya, another missionary we support, had two baptisms last week and two today. And so we rejoice with that. Jeff and Kelly Craig have identified with wanting to work and worship with us here at South Valley. We welcome them. Many of us have know them already from worshiping together in other congregations, and we welcome them. Amen. Skyden had a birthday yesterday. We wish Skyden Anderson a happy birthday. Amen. I think he's knocked out. Let's have a moment of silence. Skyden died. He's over there. And we also have need for a Wednesday night Bible class teacher for kids. Most of the kids that come are like young kindergarten, first, second grade, that age. If you can help out, it would be greatly appreciated. We have a few kids coming with their parents on Wednesday night, and sometimes there's not a teacher for them, and they're just sitting in there within the adult class. So if you can help out, it would be greatly appreciated. We're going to get into our lesson this morning. It's on singing. Dick has been going has started in the Sunday morning class the different acts of worship, and he started out today with singing. I'm going to follow it up with the lesson on singing, just to make sure that, you know, the proverbial beating a dead horse to death, just to make sure that people that miss Bible class or if they miss something in Bible class, that it's covered. Singing is a very, very important part of worship. And one of the things that has been mentioned and will be mentioned, no part of our worship is more important than the other parts. They are all important. And one of the things that we need to remember, every part of our worship, we're all involved in. One person might be delivering the lesson, but we're all participating by following along, studying. It's worship to God is not a spectator sport. We don't just come to worship and watch other people do their thing. Every aspect of our worship, we are participating in. And that's going to be mentioned a few extra times through this series, but we're going to be talking about singing today, and that's the way it is with singing, that we all participate in singing. As far as worship in general, this scripture may be used quite often in future lessons, but in John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman and is talking about worship. And he says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. That is a very, very powerful passage right there. The Samaritans, going back generations, they thought they were worshiping God. They wanted to participate in the rebuilding of the... No, you do things wrong. We don't want you. You're not part of our worship because you don't worship properly. And Jesus is telling the Samaritan woman, God seeks such to worship Him properly. And he says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And says verse 24, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In Leviticus, if we don't think how we worship is important, there are those in the religious world that think, as long as your heart's right, God will accept it. That makes a lot of sense in some ways. As long as your heart is in it, ask Nadab and Abihu if the proper way to worship is important. I think they would have something to say about that. In Leviticus 10, it starts out, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, if anybody should have known. Don't tell me, well, they didn't know how to do it. They were instructed. God has never expected anything from anybody that he had, didn't tell them what to do first of all.
Amen.
The sons of Aaron, the nephews of Moses, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Just to make sure that you understand that it wasn't a tragic accident, because they're dealing with fire, that maybe the ashes caught on their garments and caught them on. It says fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. How we worship, how we do it, our attitudes. Jesus said, true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It said they offered profane fire. Profane is to violate something that is sacred with irreverence. Profane is to desecrate or pollute something that is sacred. Everything in our worship that we offer to God has to be done in spirit and in truth. I would like to offer a few verses about singing that show the importance of singing. And then we're going to use these verses as a basis to understand how, what, when, all that, to sing. 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul is saying, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. We're not just going through the motions. We're not just singing the songs so often that we've done it so many times. The words are coming out of our mouth, but our mind's a million miles away. Anybody ever fall into that trap? I know I've done that before. You've sung that song 852 times. Ephesians 5:19. Paul teaches speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the wisdom of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 2:12. The Hebrew writer says, and he's quoting from Psalms 22:22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. These verses here that we've just looked at are going to be the basis of a couple of different points that we're going to look at. Okay? One, who do we sing to? According to these verses, it's been established in Scripture that we sing to God.
Amen.
We're singing to God the Father. That's the object of our worship. that's the recipient of our prayers. It is the focus of what we come together for as a congregation, is to offer praise to God. Now, our fellow Christians benefit from our singing. We teach through our songs. We encourage. We admonish through singing. And an important aspect of it, it is for God. It's not for our entertainment. Not that we don't benefit, but the purpose is not for us to be entertained. That's good because some of us don't have the greatest voices. God hears me like an angel. You know, you may not, but God does, so there. According to those verses, who should sing? We all do. Mm-hmm. The congregation, we imagine how pleasing and praiseworthy it must be to God for a group of His people to all be offering up praise and honor and glory at the same time to Him. And doing it mindfully. It's not a solo. We could get the best singer, and some religious groups do that, get the best singer of the group to offer. But we're not told to do that. We're told to sing together as a body. In a solo, only that one person is singing praise to God. And then I'm not even sure if God's hearing it, because it's usually being done for entertainment. And I don't want to judge hearts, but it appears the motivation behind doing that is for entertainment purposes. Or get a group of people that all sound real good. A choir. Or something that I'm seeing more and more in the body of Christ. Praise teams. It's a whole nother lesson. But I'm just going to throw this out there. If you ever find yourself in a congregation that has a praise team, open your eyes. And look real deep. That's going to be another lesson down the road. But if you ever hear of praise teams, that's a red flag. Again, it's not for entertainment. It's when we sing, we're singing as a body to God the Father. Amen. What do we sing? According to those verses that we looked at, scripturally, we're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs for the purpose of praise and worship. We also teach, encourage, edify each other in our singing. Goes back to what? The psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're not singing rock and roll. If it was, I tell you, I want to put the request in right away for Elvis and Chuck Berry's music. If that's what it was. If that's what we're going to sing, I want oldies. Some of you like country western. Hee-haw. Pop, hip-hop, whatever. It goes back to the same. It's not for our entertainment. I've got a radio that I can listen to my oldies on. When we come here to sing, we are singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. To God the Father, our Creator. That's who we're singing. And then we, our fellow brothers and sisters, get teaching and encouragement and edification through the singing together. So we are recipients of the benefits of singing. We're not the recipients of who the songs are the praise is for, but we receive benefit by singing together. How do we sing? With understanding. We're not just mindlessly going through the words, that words that we've heard a million times before and are mind wandering. Singing is powerful. It was mentioned in Bible class today how look at how music is used in life for little jingles. Commercials that are maybe long off the air. You can still sing along with them because you've heard them and that little jingle. I bet you right now, the majority of us in here that are old could probably sing the Brady Bunch thing. You know, it's kind of a calling device for our age. You know, we could sing it. We haven't seen the show in years. Sing Gilligan's Island. Glenn Lerner is way to go. Call 877-1500. It stays with you. Use it for commercials. Singing, we have to sing with understanding. Not just sing a song because we've done it so much and our mind is on something else. We're singing praises to God. We sing with our God-given voices, making melody in our hearts, as it said. It was brought up in class that the word here, making melody, the Greek word is solo. It means to pluck. We are plucking the strings of our heart. That's the instrument we use. We don't bring in a piano. We don't bring in a drums or a trombone or a xylophone. We sing with our hearts. Something each one of us have. First of all, music wasn't used in, I'm going to use the term loosely, Christianity. After the church was founded, it wasn't used for over 600 years. And when it did, it split the church. Some wanted to vary off into things that weren't authorized. Others said, no way. And it goes back again. It's not for entertainment. These verses that we looked at, they're on your outline. Spend some time. It'll take you a few minutes at home. Read over them again and reinforce why we sing, who we sing to, how we sing, and so forth. We're going to be the next few weeks looking on Sunday mornings at the different elements of worship. Next week is prayer. And a lot of the aspects with singing apply to prayer. We all pray. We are all praying together to God. So we will look at that next week. If we can be of service to you through the invitation is always open. If any of you have been studying and realize you need to be baptized, Kurt, Preston, Tracy, they have been, that water is so ready. If you're real quiet, you can hear it. Come baptize me. You can hear it. It's waiting for you. 24 hours a day, baptism is always available.
Amen.
If you need to, if you have sin in your life that's separating you from God, repent. If it's a public sin that others were involved, by all means, repent publicly. Put it behind you. If it's a private sin between you and God, repent right now to God. If you need prayers, if there's anything we as your brothers and sisters can do, we have sung praises today to God. We have worshiped together. We are more than welcome. We are more than happy to pray for you together as your brothers and sisters. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while we stand and sing.